Thanks very much, Todd and Bev, today for sharing with us a very powerful insight into what God has done in your lives, and I'm sure still doing in our lives many things that you gathered us all up here together. There'll be stories down the track which we'll be still telling about what happened later in life, later than today. God is the living God and is continually drawing us through. Interestingly, that you can be involved in church life for quite some time, and God honours our service and our participation and honours us while we're there. It's a sort of a deep mystery, really, how that moment or those moments come to us when we're shown something we never knew before. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, as we just reflect now on the events of Palm Sunday for a few moments, we thank you for Bev and for Todd and for the way in which you've spoken to both of them in different times and places. And we thank you that you have sustained them through many trials and battles. And Lord, thank you too that you've called them to bear witness to you as the one who sets us free from our sins and bears our burdens. So, Lord, we pray now for all of us here as we gather. There are burdens among us, and there are sins that, Lord, we just need to be free of. We pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us through what will be a fairly short message today. Lord, please speak to us again and guide our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. During the events of Jesus coming towards even Palm Sunday, there's a couple of things that happened before Palm Sunday that were fairly key to what we saw. And if you can think of Palm Sunday as a parable being acted out, then it's a very helpful way to view what's going on. You have to watch and listen, and then the mystery of Christ's greatness comes to us as we follow him to the cross and beyond. One of those events is that, just to cast way back, he calmed the storm when the disciples were so afraid. And he does calm the storm of our lives when we're afraid, no matter what it is. The other thing is he opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus, who cried out in desperation. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, I'd like to see. And Jesus healed him. And then he had this incident of the leaders of the disciples coming and saying, "Look, could we have, you know, when you come into your kingdom, can we be one on the left and one on the right? We'd like to be kingpin number 2 and 3, if that's okay, thanks." And Jesus said, "That's you don't understand really what leadership is about." And so it took all of the rest of his ministry for them to really grasp what that leadership's about. But he did say to them on that occasion, and you can read it in Mark chapter 10, just as they're coming into this time, he said that the Son of Man came to not to be served, but to serve. And so that's the first part, is that he came not to be served, but to serve. And the second part is to give his life as a ransom for many. And so he said, if you want to become great, you actually have to serve people, become the slave of people, and give yourself to them. We're currently experiencing a pretty much a leadership crisis in Australia, because people have lost actually the sense of what it is to serve. And it's a bit of a global problem as well, really, when you look at the best two that can be offered, say in the United States, and you kind of wonder how it got to that. So the thing we should do again is to look to Jesus and to see a type of leadership that is very confronting but is also very freeing and liberating. As he comes into Jerusalem, it's a very planned moment. He says, go and get this little colt. You'll find him in the village there. Untie him, bring him here. And if they ask you what for, just say the Lord has need of it. And so, and the other interesting part, he said, and we'll bring it back straight away when we're finished. So it's a carefully planned matter. God has planned the giving of Jesus to the world over a long period of time before we waited, and finally the Messiah came. And then when he came and accomplished his victory over death, that plan is still outworking now, and God has planned that. And you hear them quoting an ancient prophecy that a little donkey, you would look and see someone will be coming in, and that'll be the Messiah. And Zechariah 9:9 says that's the case. Now, Jesus did two things really quickly here. He humbled himself to serve the human race. That's what most of us are given to do, is to find the way in which we're to serve the human race. Some way or another, God's got a way for us to do that. And that is the most of our service. It is also involved in that, is that our witness, and Bev and Todd have witnessed this morning, to Christ's influence in their life. So our service, and I'd like to add to that, the enormous amount of service that Bev and Todd have rendered to the Clare community and to many people through their business life and through their family and the service that they've rendered. It has been, Christ has been at work in their hearts, but he's also been at work in their service. It is a huge matter to serve the living God and to lay down your life and to give yourself, not just to make money, which is, you know, we all like to do, but it is in order to actually be of benefit to someone else, and it's a costly matter. That's what they've done for the whole or the most of their lives, even before, in a way, they knew Christ as sharply as they do now. Second thing that Jesus did is, he reveals what it is to be human. He comes in and he lays down his life, but he doesn't flinch along the way. He doesn't draw back. He just does that, just humbly, simply, kindly, generously. The second thing is, we'll talk about on Easter, is that he gives his life as a ransom. That is, he buys our freedom. He deals with our sin. He lays down his life in a way that none of us could. He bears the sin of the world in his body and entrusts that in doing so, he will die, but the Father will raise him from the grave. We are called into that kind of a trust where we entrust our lives, whatever's happening, to the Father's resurrection power. Jesus comes into Jerusalem to go to the cross, and he does that to serve us. And the most beautiful thing we could do is render to him thankfulness for what he's done. That is to let the benefits of his life really come to us. Have you been reconciled to the Father? Well, you have in Christ. And has he taken and borne all of your guilt and the totality of your shame so you can look clear-eyed at God and the world? Yes, he has. And has he forgiven you 100%? Yes. And has he now given you a new joy? Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians says. Yes, he has. That is his gift to you. But to receive those benefits and to live in them is really what I guess we're exhorting one another to do, to see the beauty of the Spirit at work in everyone's life. So as they returned the colt and gave it back, we're called to render our lives in useful service to the Lord. And when we've finished, done that, he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and you'll enter into the joy of the Lord and see more of what he's got yet for you in the age to come. If we receive his benefits and come alive, then something, as you heard this morning, takes place. You have a new will, actually, to get others along to see and hear and understand what it is. I have been privileged to give a couple of references for people who've done the Emmaus walk, and it's lovely to be able to write some nice things, really, some good things about another person. They have this read to them, or they get a letter from numbers of people. And when you hear what your life is really like, it's amazing what God has done in and through you. When you hear what it's really like, you probably think a lot of times I haven't done much, I'm not the person I would like to be, etc., etc. But God's word to you is, in Jesus Christ, his word over you, and we've said this before, is, "This is my beloved son and daughter. With you, I am well pleased. You are justified. Your life has its fantastic purpose." And it was lovely to hear just a snippet, really, of what that's for two of our people this morning. May God con- Oh, one other. Cassie's not able to be here. She was going to share today. Cassie, she's not very well. And she's been doing the newsletter. She's been serving us as a young girl. Quite extraordinary. You can do it at any age, really. Just give yourself to the Lord. But she's feeling the weakness of illness at the moment. And but she was going to share something with us. But her studies have been on leadership. And I was really thrilled to hear her thinking through the difference between most leaders, even in biblical leaders, and the leadership of Jesus is quite something else. It's from the Spirit and in the Spirit's power. May the Lord bless the word to us today. I'm going to finish with this little saying. It's mandatory to lay down your life voluntarily. So figure that out and you'll be in the way of the Lord. I'm going to close with that little verse, just one piece of it, really. As an old hymn, we don't sing it very much anymore, but I think it's good for Palm Sunday. Ride on, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. O Christ, your triumphs now begin over captive death and conquered sin. And you see him trot, 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 trot into that cross, just humbly, simply. May the Lord add his blessing to the word today as you receive and continue to receive what God is doing in your life. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, as we close our service, we thank you for the ability to serve, the gifts you've given to us. Most of all, we thank you, Father, for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.